Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Muhammad Citizen for the week of June 4th, 2018. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with this article. It's under the banner of MS grad Jason Seaman. And the headline reads, A Big Thank You for Hero. Community members can sign card to recognize teacher who stopped school shooter in Indiana. Like many Muhammad community members, Elizabeth Van Houten, owner of Yellow and Company, was shocked when she heard the news of 2007 Muhammad Seymour graduate Jason Seaman's efforts to stop a suspected student gunman at West Middle School in Noblesville, Indiana, last Friday. I was just really, really touched by his story, Van Houten said. I never met him, but it made me feel a connection with him. Van Houten's mother was a teacher for 20 years, and she credited her for instilling a profound respect for the high expectations teachers are required to uphold each school day. Seaman's heroism inspired Van Houten to provide community members with a tangible way to give thanks to the former MS student. She texted me Saturday and said, Are we going to do anything for Jason? Said Walter Pierce, Muhammad Area Chamber of Commerce director. Pierce said the downtown Muhammad business owner wanted to allow community members to send cards to the seventh grade teacher. After bouncing ideas back and forth, the two decided on one large card for people to sign at the entrance of the Muhammad IGA. I just did a painting on the front of the card with Muhammadi colors, Van Houten said. I made it so we could add pages if we needed to. On the front of the card is a quote from former American General George S. Patton, Jr. that reads, Thank God such men lived. Van Houten chose the quote after seeing it on the Simple Palettes of Champagne Instagram. I'd been stressing all weekend for the perfect quote, she added. Since Tuesday morning, dozens have stopped by the IGA to sign the card. Pierce City plans to keep the card at the grocery through June 8th, when he will take the card to Barber Park for the Chambers and the Village's Parks and Recreation Department's kickoff summer concert series from 4 to 8 p.m. Everything is so polarizing politically, Van Houten said. This is something you can do aside from politics and say, Thank God for teachers like you, and we're so glad you grew up here. And you have these great values, and you jumped in and did the right thing. In a public post by Seaman's mother, Christy, her son underwent surgery at IU Health Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis last Friday. She added that her son had been hit 3 times, one in the abdomen, hip, and forearm. He was released from the hospital Saturday. On Monday, Seaman spoke for the first time at a news conference. I want to make it clear that my actions on that day, in my mind, were the only acceptable actions I could have done given the circumstances, Seaman said to the Associated Press. I deeply care for my students and their well-being. That is why I did what I did that day. He's an amazing kid, said Muhammad Seymour Superintendent Lindsay Hall. We're all in a state of shock. A student told the Associated Press that he saw Seaman tackle a fellow student who fired shots inside the classroom. Seventh grader Ethan Stonebreaker said the class was taking a test when the student walked in late, pulled out a gun, and started firing. He said the teacher immediately ran at him, swatted a gun out of his hand, and tackled him to the ground, adding, If it weren't for him, more of us would have been injured for sure. Seaman played multiple sports at Muhammad Seymour. In 2007, he was named News Gazette Athlete of the Year. A two-sport, all-area performer in football and basketball, Seaman went on to play college football at Southern Illinois University. He also holds the MS school shot put record, 60 feet 8 inches. Former MS boys basketball coach Chad Benedict, a PE teacher at MS, who will serve as an assistant principal at the school starting July 1st, said he was in a meeting on Friday morning when he received the news about Seaman. My first reaction was, he stopped it, Benedict said. That was my assumption without even getting any of the details, because that's just who he is. Seaman was a senior during Benedict's first season in charge of the Bulldogs in 2006 and 2007. He was injured his junior year, and then he got healthy, Benedict said. The thing I always appreciated about him was, number one, he was humble, and number two, he was selfless. He was a fantastic teammate. This was a kid that really had a lot of high-level interest athletically and could have played three sports in college if he wanted to. Keith Pogue, Seaman's track and field coach at MS and an assistant football coach when Seaman was with the Bulldogs, was devastated to hear the news on Friday morning. "It really shook me up," Pogue said. "It's affecting me more so than I imagined, to be honest." Pogue said he exchanged messages with him once Seaman became the football coach at Noblesville West. Pogue said coaching was a natural fit for Seaman. "He was so gifted at it and just a natural leader," Pogue said. "I was really pleased to hear he'd gone in that direction." Pogue, who has been connected with MS Athletics in a coaching capacity for more than two decades and has served as the Bulldogs' head football coach since 2008, said Seaman brought a different dimension to every team he was involved with at Mohammed Seymour. "He was a leader for us, and maybe if he wasn't the best athlete to come through Mohammed in my time here, one of the best by far," Pogue said. "He was just a fun kid to be around. He made working hard in practice fun, and he brought kids up to his level. He didn't just enjoy the games, but he enjoyed everything involved in athletics. He was just that positive example all the time." Current MS boys track and field coach Todd LaFond said he found out about Seaman during Friday's boys track and field state meet at O'Brien Field in Charleston, a venue Seaman competed at in 2007 during his time with the Bulldogs. Seaman placed third in state in the shot put as a senior at MS and ninth in the discus in the two-class system. "Great kid," LaFond said. "Doesn't surprise me that he might have been trying to tackle the kid or something. We just keep praying for him. His family has two young kids, and one was just born a few months ago, I think. I know his parents real well. His brother played soccer with my son. Our coaches know him, and we're around." Coach Tom Willard was his throws coach. "As soon as I found out, I went over and told all of them so they were aware of it. It's a tough situation." Seaman grew up rooting for nearby University of Illinois. His parents had season tickets before the kids' activities made it difficult to go to every game. Illinois showed interest in Seaman during his junior year at Mohammed Seymour. He made a couple of unofficial visits and was on campus for junior day. But a knee injury his junior year ended the Illini recruitment. At Southern Illinois, he played for Jerry Kill and Dale Lennon. "Both have been awesome," Seaman told the News Gazette's Bob Osmussen in 2010 after SIU played at Memorial Stadium. "I can't complain at all about how things have turned out." Also on the front page, we have this article under the banner of Summer Fun, and the headline reads, "It's Never a Dull Moment. Are you looking for stuff to do as the temperatures heat up? Here are some ideas." The dog days of summer are quickly approaching. Though summer doesn't technically begin until June 21st, the school bell's final ring proves difficult to contest as the official start of summer. Whether following a tedious summer schedule or utilizing a go-with-the-flow approach, one thing is for certain, Mohammed shows no signs of slowing its pace with a vast array of summer fun events. It started with Memorial Day as the paddle boats finally hit the waters of Lake of the Woods. Downtown Mohammed saw increased foot traffic with the first farmer's market of the season, and the Mohammed Public Library kicked off its summer reading program. At times, it's hard to keep track of all Mohammed's offerings. We've compiled a list of Mohammed's summer fun events, though the list is in no particular order. It provides as many Mohammed summer happenings as possible. And the first one is the Lake of the Woods Forest Preserve. That forest preserve is a summer destination location in and of itself. But did you know the forest preserve also provides an event series? Paddle boat rentals, now through September 3rd. 30-minute boat rentals are available through Labor Day. The boats are $6 to rent. Freedom Fest, July 4th, from 3 to 10 p.m., attendees can enjoy musical entertainment and food vendors with an admission fee of $2. Military personnel are free as long as they have their ID. The event finishes with a bang as the fireworks begin at dusk. And they have Take Me Fishing, July 28th. Catch and release fishers are invited to the Lake of the Woods main lake for a family-friendly fishing event from 9 to 11 a.m. Participants are welcome to bring their own equipment. However, cane poles and bait will be provided. Basic fishing lessons will be provided to beginners, and awards will be provided to area standouts. The Chamber of Commerce has events. One is Ladies Night Out on June 7th. Farmers Markets, now through August 17th, they're being held in downtown Mahomet. The Farmers Markets occur each Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. The June 8th event, today, will be at Barber Park. The Farmers Markets feature produce and goods from dozens of local vendors. And the Mahomet Auto Fest is July the 8th. The sixth annual event will host more than 200 antique vehicles, classic cars, and new models in downtown Mahomet from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Registration begins at 9 a.m., but raffles and awards start at 3 p.m., followed by the car cruise at 4 p.m. The entry fee is $15 per vehicle. And the Mahomet Library offers numerous programs to keep community members engaged in reading. They have an independent summer reading program now through August 16th. All ages are invited to participate in that summer reading program. They have a thing called Chapter by Chapter. That's June 7th through August the 16th. Conquer a chapter book over the summer by engaging in the story along with the library's activities. Children entering kindergarten through third grade are invited each Thursday from noon to 1 p.m., and fourth through sixth graders may join from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. They have another program entitled Read to a Dog. That starts June 16th and goes to August 11th. Children of all ages are welcome to read to a Champaign-Urbana Canine Connection certified therapy dog from 10 to 11 a.m. And they have another program called Can You Beat a World Record? And that's July 21st. Residents of all ages are invited from 1 to 2 p.m. to see if they can break world records with games such as picking up M&Ms with chopsticks or stacking toilet paper rolls. And under the Museum of Grand Prairie, they have these activities. The Museum of Grand Prairie is celebrating its 50th anniversary, along with an exhibit featuring all things 1968, the year of its inception. The museum will provide 60s-themed programming. Museum Mondays started June 4th and runs through August 13th. Each Monday from 10:30 a.m. to noon, community members are invited to learn more about culture and natural history. The event series includes craft making and snacks. The library also has Summer in the Schoolhouse. That's July 6th to the 27th. Each Friday from 10:30 a.m. to noon, community members are welcome to learn more about what life was like in the 1890s with a 19th century school lesson, including geography, arithmetic, a spelling bee, and history. And they have a program called To the Moon and Back, The Voyage of Apollo 8. That's on July 14th. David Leake, the director of the William M. Sterkel Planetarium, will present at 2 p.m. on what transpired during the Apollo 8 mission, along with its significance and the events leading up to it. And the last program is about Vanishing Acts, Trees Under Threat. That's on August the 4th. The museum will open its outdoor exhibit from 1 to 4 p.m. to examine endangered and threatened trees. All ages are welcome to receive a guided tour and participate in outdoor crafts and activities. And speaking of activities, we have this section under the Parks and Recreation Department. Mahomet Parks and Recreation Department summer events provide something for everyone. Summer concert series starts this weekend, June 8th, from 4 to 8 p.m. Enjoy live music by the Caleb Cook Band, bounce houses, balloon animals, face painting, yard games, and food. And in the program of Touch a Truck, that's June the 9th, youngsters and their families are welcome to climb into and explore construction vehicles, fire trucks, police cars, snowplows, and tractors for free from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Barber Park. And there is the Sangamon River Duck Race. That's August 25th. The 8th annual duck race allows people to sponsor a duck for $5 apiece. The ducks begin their journey on the Sangamon River near the Bike Path Bridge and complete the trek at Barber Park. Participants have a chance to win the cash grand prize of $500. Proceeds benefit the Mahomet Parks and Recreation Department and the Upper Sangamon River Conservancy. And it wouldn't be summer without area churches that host activities throughout the summer for local youth. In the Mahomet area, several. Community Free Church, 102 West River Bend Boulevard, welcomes children 4 through 5th grade to attend a rolling river adventure June 11th to the 14th from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. A family picnic lunch will follow after each day's activities. The First Baptist Church, 402 South Elm Street, invites kindergarten through 5th graders to join Backyard Bible Club July 30th through August 3rd from 6 to 8 p.m. at Candlewood Estates. Grace Church, 800 West Oak Street, welcomes kids in the kindergarten through 5th grade to attend Camp Grace on June 25th to the 28th. From 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., a family lunch will be provided June 28th. The Mahomet Christian Church at 908 North Lake of the Woods Road will host its VBS featuring Daniel's Courage July 15th to the 19th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. The United Methodist Church, 1302 East South Mahomet Road, will begin its VBS July 9th to the 12th from 9 a.m. to noon. A family party will take place from 6 to 8 p.m. on July 12th. And Shiloh United Methodist Church, 354 County Road, 2700 North, will have VBS on July 9th to the 13th. And now turning to page A2, we have this article. It's under the banner of End of School, and the headline reads, Sangamon's Year Closes with Fun and Farewells. The end of another school year is always bittersweet, but this year in particular left many Sangamon Elementary School teachers, especially those retiring, with a heartfelt goodbye and well wishes for those returning next year to the new Middletown Prairie Elementary School. Last week, students filled the halls with laughter one more time as they participated in games. Retiring second grade teacher Pamela Holm had her students compete in silly contests, such as using their mouths to balance pretzels on a tongue depressor or a spoon to move cotton balls from a bowl. Mahomet Seymour Junior High students also ended the semester on a high note as they packed the Orange Gym last Thursday afternoon for a watermelon eating contest. Sixth grade social studies teacher Henry Turek emceed for several rounds of selected student contestants from the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades. "Eat that melon," chanted Turek along with the crowd. Students are tasked with finishing a quarter of a watermelon faster than their competitors. "Approach your melon," Turek joked at the beginning of each round. According to 8th grade pre-algebra teacher Chris Snodgrass, the tradition is over 20 years old. Nearly 10 years ago, the school incorporated a teacher contest following the students' competition. "Honestly, I think just us doing some kind of competition like that and showing that we're not afraid to kind of get ourselves dirty and stuff makes them, the students, see us as real people," Snodgrass said. Snodgrass won this year's teacher round. "The title is one she's grown accustomed to. I've probably won 8 or 9 times," she said. For Snodgrass, end of the school year activities are a fun way to complete the semester. "The kids get to see us putting our faces in it, and they think, I can do that," she said. "It lets them see us in a different light." And now, turning to page A5, under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. Donnell Don Dean Chaplin, 89, passed from this world at 7:15 p.m. Sunday, April 29, 2018, at Carl Foundation Hospital. Don donated his body to medical research, so no service was held. Any memorial donations may be made to the Champaign Public Library or any library of the donor's choice. Cynthia Cindy L. Johnson, age 53, of Villa Grove, died at 3:47 a.m. Tuesday, May 22, 2018, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Graveside funeral services were held at 11 a.m. Friday, May 25, 2018, in the Villa Grove Cemetery. Pastor Dwayne Piercy officiated. There was no visitation. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Donna Jean Jordan, 65, of Monticello, passed away at 9:55 p.m. Sunday, May 27, 2018, at Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello. A funeral service was held at 10 a.m. Friday, June 1, 2018, at Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. Visitation was from 9 to 10 a.m. on Friday, June 1, 2018, at the funeral home. Interment will be held in Monticello Township Cemetery. Memorial donations may be made to Piatt County Mental Health Center. Larry Joe McElhaney, 71, of Hoopston, passed away Wednesday, May 23, 2018, at home. A celebration of Larry's life was at 11 a.m. Wednesday, May 30, 2018, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation was from 9 to 11 a.m. Prior to the service, he was laid to rest in Danville National Cemetery. Jenny Muhich, 71, of Mahomet, died at 9:39 a.m. Tuesday, May 29, 2018, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Renner Wyckoff Chapel and Crematory, 1900 South Philo Road in Urbana. Richard Partenheimer joined our Lord on Wednesday, May 23, 2018, at 10 a.m. He passed in his home with family by his side. Friends greeted the family Thursday, May 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. at Mahomet Church of the Nazarene, 702 County Road 200 East in Mahomet. Condolences may be offered at www.owensfuneralhomes.com. Daniel L. Steinhardt, 54, of Mahomet, passed away at 8:25 p.m. Tuesday, May 22, 2018, in the emergency room at OSF Health Care Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Graveside services were at 11 a.m. Saturday, May 26, 2018, at Mount Vernon Cemetery in Catlin. Don Steinhardt officiated. Memorials may be made to the family in care of First Mid-Illinois Bank and Trust at a branch near the donor. Robeson Chapel in Catlin handled the arrangements. And now, returning to the news, on page A5, we have this article. It's under the banner of Trooper Ryan Albin Memorial Highway. And the headline reads, Section of I-74 Honors Albin. Illinois lawmakers honored the late Trooper Ryan Albin on Monday with a unanimous vote in the Senate to designate milepost 155 to 160 along Interstate 74 as the Trooper Ryan Albin Memorial Highway. Last June, the Illinois State Police Trooper died after a two-vehicle crash while he was on duty. Trooper Albin attended Blue Ridge High School in Farmer City and in 2015 was honored as the District 6 Officer of the Year. The number of Trooper Albin's friends who called me asking for this legislation has been absolutely incredible, said State Senator Chapin Rose, a Republican of Mahomet, who sponsored the legislation HJR 93. I didn't know Trooper Albin, but considering what everyone who did know Trooper Albin has told me about him, he must have been one heck of a guy. This is the least we can do to honor his family and his commitment to the citizens of Illinois. The adopted legislation was initially introduced in the House, where it received a unanimous approval May the 8th. Trooper Albin was a hero who bravely served the people of Illinois for nearly 12 years, State Representative Bill Mitchell, a Republican of Forsyth, said. Naming this stretch of I-74 in Trooper Albin's honor is a fitting tribute to a man who gave his life in the line of duty, serving his community and the state of Illinois. Albin, a Blue Ridge graduate, was 37 when he died after a two-vehicle crash last summer while on duty on Interstate 74 near Farmer City. Governor Bruce Rauner was among the 600 in attendance at the funeral last July, with an estimated 500 police cars helping escort Albin's body to Bellflower Township Cemetery. And also on page A5, we have this article. It's under the banner of Blue Ridge High School. And the headline reads, Four students recognized for saving choking woman. What could have been one tragedy on top of another was averted when some alert Blue Ridge High School students helped a woman who was choking after a funeral service for fallen State Police Trooper Ryan Albin last summer. They were honored by the Illinois State Police for their life-saving efforts in Farmer City last Monday. While we were there, one of the surviving mothers of another fallen officer began to choke in the teacher's lounge. There were some student workers on site, and one gave her the Heimlich maneuver, said Sergeant Kim Cessna of the Illinois State Police. The incident occurred when lunch was served for some of the participants after the funeral. While 2017 BRHS graduate Corey Jane cleared her airway, other students ran to the high school library for help, bringing back a paramedic who was there. The woman was taken to an area hospital as a precautionary measure, but fully recovered. The students involved, Matt Isaacs, Luke Clancy, Adam Cheek, and Jane, were given certifications of recognition by the state police at BRHS. Cheek was not able to attend as he has since moved out of state. Jane is now a freshman at Augustana College, where he is studying to be an orthopedic surgeon. I was glad that they were there and they did the right thing and kept their composure, said Cessna, who also volunteers with COPS, Concerns of Police Survivors. Finally for today, from page A3, we have this article that's under the banner of Mahomet Public Library, and the headline reads, Reading for Fun and Prizes. The Mahomet Public Library began its summer reading program last Friday. The program encourages all members of the community and all ages to read for fun, especially during the summer. It's not a ton different this year, Maura Stutzman, the youth services librarian, said of the program. What we're doing a little differently is that in the past there were a lot of goals about how much time you read or how many books you read, and you'd get little prizes along the way. This summer, the reading program is focused on reading-related activities and emphasizes the enjoyment of reading rather than reading for quantity. Everyone gets a bingo sheet of activities, and then every bingo of different activities that you complete, you get a bead for a necklace that you can make over the summer, and you also get a raffle ticket, Stutzman said. The library will raffle off three large prizes at the end of the summer, and participants will have a chance to put their names in for a Kindle, magnet tiles, or a large gift card. For every raffle ticket you get, you can choose what you'd like to put your name in for, Stutzman explained. At the end of the summer, we'll do a big drawing and someone will win each of the three prizes. The bingo cards are for readers of all ages and include activities meant to highlight the many different ways readers can engage with a book. For infants to first graders, we have early literacy activities like listen to a poem, clap your hands to the beat of a song, read under a tree, and do a puzzle, Stutzman said. And then through second grade and up all the way to adult, we have things like reread a favorite book, read an e-book, and read a nonfiction book. We kind of leave it up to you on how you want to complete it. There's no limit to the amount of bingo cards you can complete, and readers are encouraged to fill them out all summer. Anyone can participate once they sign up for the program. You do not have to be a member of the library to play bingo. Starting May 25th, you can come into the library and register and get your bingo card, Stutzman said, or you can do online registration and print them off at home. Readers are encouraged to use the program to discover their own interests, so there's not a theme for summer reading. That's where the summer reading program comes in, by leaving the reading activities up to interpretation. I think that, especially with kids, it's sort of easy to get really busy during the summer, Stutzman added. It can feel like reading is a kind of chore, so what we're trying to do is to make it a fun thing. If kids read for their own benefit and they're enjoying it, then they're more likely, as they get older, to just make it a part of their life and keep on reading and doing all sorts of literary activities. We're trying to make it so that you're not just reading to get a prize, Stutzman said. You get little prizes along the way, but it's more of your reading because you enjoy reading. This has been the Mahomet Citizen, dated for the week of June 4th, 2018. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.